Let's cross now to the Cannes Film Festival with two critics with their feet on the ground for the screen show, their toes in the sand. They are two regular contributors to this show, Luke Goodsell and Kiva York. Welcome back to the screen show.
Hi, thanks, Jason.
Now, there is so much, as always, to be talking about with this mega festival, but let's start with the subject of zombies and Jim Jarmusch's festival opener, which was called The Dead Don't Die.
I'm thinking zombies.
What?
You know, the undead. Ghouls.
Flesh-eating zombies.
Don't joke. It's really, really creepy.
Oh, man. This isn't going to end well. When I was a
boy, I thought of... They gravitate towards things they did when they were alive.
Coffee.
Chardonnay.
Did she just say Chardonnay?
Yeah, she did.
Yes, that's Jim Jarmusch's new zombie film called The Dead Don't Die. I think it seems to have gotten pretty lukewarm responses from critics. Luke Goodsell, you're kind of a Jim Jarmusch fan, I guess. This seems to have all the elements of a small town America. It's got Bill Murray, Adam Driver, Steve Buscemi, Tilda Swinton. Does it amount to much, or is it sort of minor Jim Jarmusch?
Look, I don't think it amounts to much, but I don't think that's necessarily a problem. I think the film is, you know, it's pretty low-key Jim. He's got a bunch of his friends hanging out together, you know, making a zombie movie as if we need more zombie content, you know, in this yes. current culture. But I think one of the nice things about this film is, you know, like it's not like a major work or anything, but it does kind of, in a way, wrestle back some of the oversaturated, you know, the really bad zombie apocalypse kind of culture and wrestle it back into the original sort of George, well, not the original, but at least the George Romero iteration of zombies. So it's a classic kind of, you know, it's a very jokey take on that, but it's a classic Romero-esque kind of zombie movie. But it's also got that very, you know, and a lot of people are sort of complaining that it's Jim Jarmusch, you know, kind of railing against the age of Trump and consumerism and capitalism, which it kind of does have this weird streak of righteousness about it. But I think to be fair to Jarmusch, he's sort of just doing, you know, that classic Romero thing, you know, as anti-consumerist. So, you know, I didn't mind the film. There are some laughs. It's funny. I mean, I enjoyed Tilda Swinton, which is increasingly rare these days with her shtick. But
I'm a little bit like you on Tilda, actually. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's certainly a divisive film, I think. And it's certainly, you know, it's not going to win the Palme d'Or, put it that way.
Yeah. Kiva, you'd be in broad agreement with that, or did you like it?
I don't even know if it earns the term divisive. I just thought it was pretty lame, to be honest. I'd say my response could be characterized as, yeah, this was a lackluster film. But I also think that the social commentary that was in there was wedged very gracelessly in. But I also don't think it's an offensive film, and as an opening night film, it was pretty innocuous.
It's interesting
people
to note,
were chuckling along.
It's interesting to note, Iggy Pop's in it as a zombie in the trailer, mm-hmm. at least. So I'm looking forward to kind of seeing that cameo, which by all accounts seems to be pretty funny. But there's another zombie film floating around the festival, not in competition, but Bertrand Bonello's made a film called Zombie Child.
Zombie Child,
a much better zombie film.
Much better zombie film. Would you agree, Luke?
Well, talking about taking zombies, you know, way back, I mean, Bonello's film sort of goes back to, you know, origin stories of zombies and has very much that Jacques Tourneur, like, I walked with a zombie kind of vibe. So he goes back to Haiti. I mean, you know, Bonello opens himself up to very risky kind of cultural appropriation areas with this film in telling the story of a man who gets, you know, a slave on a plantation in Haiti who gets turned into a zombie. And then he sort of, but he interestingly cuts that with modern, you know, high school life in France with, so it's a very interesting film in what it does that way. But certainly, yeah, I think it's more successful in exploring, you know, zombie lore.
It almost,
it
almost sounds like...
But then it's doing a different thing, obviously.
Yeah, well, it almost sounds like similar terrain, perhaps to Nocturama, in terms of looking at teens and that kind of age group, or am I way off base with that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's like we all found the teen dialogue very lively as well, and I think maybe someone was saying that he Bertrand Bonello had his like teenage daughter read over the script for sort of veracity of the conversations, and that kind of shows. Yeah, and it's also really interesting how these two narratives, one from like mid-20th century Haiti and the other from present day France, sort of come together, because they do, of course, eventually intertwine.
They come together in a pretty wild way in this film. And, you know, some people are saying that he went a little bit too far, but I was very entertained. Like, there's possession
and
all kinds of... Yeah, it's fun, yeah.
All right, that's Zombie Child, Bertrand Benalla's new film. We've spoken also about Jim Jarmusch. I am talking via Skype to our two critics on with their feet on the ground at the Cannes Film Festival, Luke Goodsell and Kiva York. My name's Jason DeRosso. You're listening to The Screen Show here at RN. Let's talk about an issue which I think it's fair to say, you may disagree, the Cannes Film Festival is still sort of struggling with, and that's the issue of gender representation. Last year, of course, saw an unprecedented protest of stars and filmmakers on the red carpet, including Agnes Varda, Cate Blanchett. You know, what do things look like this year? The official competition, for example, Kiva, what does gender representation and the gender balance look like?
Well, just from like a quick glance at the lineup, it shows you that, yeah, things are improving, but very marginally. I think last year there were three women in competition, and this year we've got a whole four women out of 20 films in total. But that being said, there's some very strong films by women in the lineup, so that's a plus. And also there's, like, in terms of representation, there's, like, the first film by a black woman in competition, so that's exciting. And we've also had the first trans woman walking the red carpet for a film that is not screening in competition, but is nevertheless, it's screening in uncertain regard, so one of the other streams of the festival.
I mean, I noticed
that things are looking up.
Yeah, I mean, I noticed there's parity apparently in the selection committee and on the jury, of course, which is headed by the Mexican director Alejandro González Iñárritu. But there was a lot of protest over Alain Delon receiving the honorary Palme d'Or for Korea, for his career, which was a controversial choice due to various things he said about the Me Too movement and so forth. But let's not get into that. Let's talk actually about this really interesting filmmaker, the French-Senegalese director Mati Diop, who, as you mentioned, Kiva, is the first black woman to ever have a film in Cannes competition. But look, I loved her short feature, A Thousand Suns. Much has been made of her talent way before she's arrived here at the competition in Cannes with her first feature. It is called Atlantiques, I think it's how to pronounce, set in Senegal. Luke, tell me more about this film. Now, first of all, I'm right to say it's set in Senegal, right?
It is, yeah. It's set in Dakar. It's kind of a romance about a young woman and the man the boy she loves, who's a construction worker on this kind of giant futuristic tower that they're building in Dakar, and he and a bunch of other workers end up sort of not being paid for several months for their work, and so they try to sort of escape to Spain. So sort of, you know, the first half of the film is very sort of realist kind of look at sort of class disparity in Senegal. And then the workers who are disgruntled sort of decide to escape to Spain. And it turns out they all, you know, disappear and presume drowned. And at that point, the film transforms into something quite singular with the, let's say, the souls of these men lost at sea return to haunt the locals in a way that's not dissimilar to, you know, without giving too much away, themes of things explored by the Jim Jarmusch and the Bertrand Bonello film, but in a very, very unusual and, you know, fascinating way. And as you say, I loved, you know, talking about Mati Diop, I loved A Thousand Suns as well.
She just has such a poetic sensibility as a director, I think.
Yeah.
And you know, for those who don't know, Mati Diop, of course, has a famous pedigree in terms of her filmmaking family.
Right. So the film that we were speaking of, A Thousand Suns, was Mati Diop's short documentary on a film that her uncle, Djibril Diop Mambety, made back in 1973, I think it was, called Tuki Buki, which is a very famous Senegalese film. And so that's her uncle. And the first half of Atlantiques has a very sort of Tuki Buki vibe. So she's clearly sort of working within that lineage that her uncle established, but then she goes off into her own terrain. And also worth mentioning, of course, that, that Madi Diop was one of the stars of Claire Denis's 35 Rooms. So she's very much got that that vibe of having been mentored to an extent, I suppose you could say, by Claire Denis.
I'm really interested to see this film. Is it coming to Australia? Who's bought it? Do you know?
I'm not sure about that, but let's hope it gets picked up.
Let's hope it gets picked up.
Perhaps as a late addition for Sydney Film Festival, or you know, I'm sure it'll be at MIFF.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's definitely one to see. It's one of my favourites at Cannes.
Kiva, I want to ask you about a film that shares the same cinematographer as Atlantiques, and it's a film by French director, the French director of Tomboy and Girlhood, Céline Sciamma. Her filming competition is A Portrait of a Lady on Fire. The cinematographer I'm talking about is Claire Mathon. And
Maton,
right. This is a period piece about a female portrait artist who falls for her female sitter. So it's a kind of queer romance set in period France. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's end of the 18th century, and it's important to specify, I guess, that the her subject, the painter's subject, is an unwilling subject because the portrait that is to be painted of her is to be sent as kind of a token to her suitor in Milan, and she does not want to get married. So sort of the painter, Marianne,
she
is a reluctant bride, a reluctant sitter. Well, she just plain refuses, and so the Marianne, the painter who's brought to their, like, sort of remote house in this French island, is told by Heloise, this subject's mother, you know, okay, you just have to paint her without her knowing. So as a pretense, then Marianne takes Heloise for a walk every day, and they kind of get to know each other, and before they know it, they're kind of falling for each other, and it turns into this quite sultry romance film, actually. And I have to say, it's the film that I've felt the most, like, strong emotional response to throughout. Like, I can't remember the last time I wanted two people to kiss on screen as much as I did for this film.
Okay, you've sold me, basically.
That's excellent.
I mean, it seems like that's essentially the key ingredient that needs to be there for a film like this. So a kind of slow burn?
Definitely a slow burn. I think it's probably maybe up until the halfway point that, you know, they sort of are able to even come close to express their budding feelings for one another. For the first bit, I thought it was going to be one of those In the Mood for Love films where they would never, you know, they would never express what they were feeling. But I was very happy that they did come to do that.
All right. Well, in the brief time we have left, and we do have to wrap it up, unfortunately, but Pedro Almodovar is looking like an early critic's favourite with his film Pain and Glory, a kind of semi-autobiographical film starring Antonio Banderas. But what do you guys make of Pain and Glory? Is this Pedro's year?
It could be Pedro's legacy award, like lifetime achievement or career award year. But I mean, that said, the movie's certainly far from my favorite Almodovar, but it's enjoyable. It's one of those films I think that everybody can agree on. That said, I think it's worth mentioning that Bong Joon-ho's Parasite has just screened, and I think that's possibly the film that, given the critic response anyway, may give it a run for its money.
Oh, the South Korean filmmaker is also coming. Yeah, he's presenting this film at the Sydney Film Festival too, which is interesting.
Indeed he is. Yeah.
But I think Almodovar is, you know, he's up there.
Yeah. And Kiva, would you agree, out of the new Bong Joon-ho Parasite, which apparently is about you've seen it, but it's a poor family, a rich family, a tailor sort of class that goes off the rails in a kind of tragicomic way?
Yeah, we were saying after seeing it, there's sort of like, it's an Shoplifters meets Us vibe sort of mixed in with the particular collision course of genres that Bong Joon-ho likes to bring to the table. I thought it was a really strong film. I definitely thought there was maybe more going on there than there was in the Almodovar. But that being said, you know, as Luke said, Almodovar has been around for a while. This is like a nicely self-reflective film, semi-autobiographical in a playful way. And the palm may well go to him just on the basis of, this is a good film, it's a solid film, everyone likes it, and it's his year.
Or one of the big prizes, certainly, perhaps. All right, well, on that note, thank you very much. So much to talk about. We barely scratched the surface, I'm sure, but continue enjoying movies there at the Cannes Film Festival for those of us who can't be there. And
we will.
We'll see you when you get back. Cheers,
we'll
guys.
We'll take one for the team. Thanks.
See you, Jason.
See ya.
Bye.
That was Kiva York and Luke Goodsell, guest critics and special correspondents at the Cannes Film Festival for The Screen Show, talking to me via Skype.